and then the walls fell. The walls didn't fall to cause them to shout. Amen? Y'all think about that. Get a hold of you. Luke chapter number 13 this morning. Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter number 13. I appreciate the good singing. I appreciate all the good music. Appreciate you visitors being here. We count it a privilege and an honor. Don't we, Miss Gladys? We count it a privilege for them to be here. And hope they'll find themselves welcomed. And pray the Lord bless you for being here. We thank you for taking the time out of your day to be here with us. Amen?
Amen.
And members, we thank y'all for being here too.
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter number 13 this morning. Luke 13. We preached for about 3 hours.
Amen.
Amen. Be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Luke chapter number 13, verse number 10. The Bible says, and he was teaching, speaking of Jesus, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we love you. God, we thank you for all you mean to us. We want to thank you most of all just this morning. Just take time and thank you for Jesus. Thank you for dying on an old rugged cross. Thank you for being born in this world. Lord, this old sinful, just worthless world full of sinners like me. God, thank you for coming. Thank you for humbling yourself and being born of a virgin. Coming so that you might die. Die on an old rugged cross. Die for our sins. Be buried and rose again so that you could save us and keep us saved and take us home one day with you. Father, we want to thank you this morning for Jesus. We want to ask you to help us this morning. God, I need your touch. I pray you'd fill me with your spirit. God, I pray you'd help me to say the things that need to be said this morning. God, I pray you'd bring back to my mind the things that you've put in my heart and my mind through study and in prayer with you. God, I pray you'd help us this morning. We need your touch. God, I need your touch. Lord, these people need your touch. God, we are a needy people. God, speak to hearts and lives and have your perfect will and way. God, I pray if there be anybody lost this morning, God, they see themselves lost and in need of a Savior. God, I pray, Lord, if there be Christians, Lord, that their heart needs changing, their heart needs some amending, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, they'd be sensitive and obedient today. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts and have your will and way, and we'll thank you. We'll praise you, Lord, for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The sitting here. The Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry in the synagogue several times. And here we find him in the synagogue. The Bible said teaching in the synagogue on a Sabbath day. Not unusual for Jesus to come to a synagogue. And here he comes in the setting here is he heals this lady. And we'll look at that in a minute. But he heals the lady. And then there's some grumbling and some griping. There's some dissension, if you will, at the synagogue. Over what the Lord Jesus has done, because he done it on a Sabbath day. Brings into mind his desire and his heart, and calls to question you and I today, what's more important to us? Would it be the souls of mankind, or would it be the keeping of the Sabbath day? And that's kind of what Jesus was dealing with here today. It's interesting that when we read the Gospels and we read the story of the life of Jesus, that Jesus went about making crooked people straight, and when he did, straight people called him crooked. You think about it. Jesus went about making crooked people straight, and those that thought they were straight called him crooked. We're talking about the Lord of Lords. We find in the story here that Jesus, the Lord God Almighty finds more glory in seeing people delivered from suffering, whether it's due to sin or on the physical side or suffering on the spiritual side as well. He gets more glory in delivering people and setting them free and seeing them changed than he does from any type of formal religious ceremonies and service.
Right.
We could compare in verse 13 and verse 15 where the Bible says she glorified God. And in verse number 15 and 16, you'll find that the hypocrite was criticizing and grumbling because he thought Jesus shouldn't have done it because he'd done it on a Sabbath day. And Jesus trying to teach him, hey, son, there's more important things than what day of the week I done my work on. The more important thing is that he done a work delivering somebody and setting them free. And so you find out that God's way more interested in getting glory through delivering people than he is from the keeping of ceremonies. And I want to preach for a little while on the thought of this, where this little lady, Jesus told this woman in verse number 12, he said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And I want to preach on that thought, loosed, loosed. I want us to look at these scriptures tonight, this morning, and I wanted to, we want you to remember that when we talk about the Lord Jesus, that Jesus was a helper of the helpless. Jesus is still a helper of the helpless. How many of you know that when he come by your way, you wasn't looking for him, but thank God he come by looking for you. Hey, you couldn't reach up to where he was, but thank God he came down to where you were and picked you up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and he established your feet on a rock, and he established you going. How many knows what I'm talking about? He's a helper of the helpless. He comes by when you wasn't going his way. He came out of his way to take you his way. Amen. Thank God he's a helper of the helpless. I want to say Jesus finds glory in helping the hopeless and the helpless people in this world. That's what he's here. Some people are bound up by tradition. They're bound up by their rituals. They're bound up by religion. That they don't know how to worship. They don't know how to enjoy serving Jesus. They don't know how to enjoy being in the presence of God. They don't know how to enjoy the blessings of God. They don't even know how to enjoy salvation sometimes because they're bound up by religion. They're bound up by the critics, and they're bound up by what Sister Wigglejaws on this side or Freddie Flapjack on this side is going to say. And what will they say if I shout? What will they say if I get excited? What will they think? Well, who really cares what they think? Because they're not the one that came looking for you. They're not the one that went out of the way to take you their way. They're not the one that reached down further than you could reach up. They're not the one that tried to save you. They're not the one that died for you. They're not the one that gave their life for you. They don't really matter. Amen. And so Jesus told this woman, thou art loosed. I want to ask you the question this morning. What are you more concerned with? Are you more concerned with the Sabbath, if you will? Or are you more concerned with religiosity and the structure, if you will? And don't get me wrong. I believe the Bible does teach us some structure. The Bible teaches us that all things ought to be done decently in order. The Bible gives us qualifications and guidelines for how we are to do church and how we are to do. But let me say, hey, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you more concerned? I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people that's caught up in flowery language. They're caught up in stained glass windows. They're caught up in some big, huge crystal cathedral somewhere. And they think because they're in some big, fancy building that, hey, God is with us. My dearly beloved brethren, turn with me today. And they're caught up in religion. They're caught up in some type of a form. The Bible says over in 2 Timothy that they have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. And I'm afraid in the United States of America, we've got to the state, and we've been there for a while, that there are many people going through religious motions, religious garbage, if you will. Going through the motions, but we put on our nice suit, we put on our nice tie, we put on our nice dresses, if we're ladies, and we go to the church. And God has to be pleased because we gave him an hour out of 7 days. And the question is, what are you more concerned with? Souls or the Sabbath? I wonder if when I read this story, I almost titled this message, Crooked Concerns. When we get into it, you'll see about this ruler of the synagogue and his concerns. He wasn't concerned about the souls. He wasn't concerned about the lady being delivered. He wasn't concerned about the work of God. All he was concerned about was somebody doing it the way that he thought it ought to be done. Can I say there's a lot of churches that could have revival if they just get over the opinion of what the fellow on the other side of the church thinks and how he thinks it ought to be done? Just get along with God and remember how good God's been to you. Remember, hey, how he saved you and how he picked you up, how he delivered you from hell and from the wrath to come, and you'll forget all about what Freddie Flapjack's got to say. Amen? You think about it. I don't have to go to hell. Well, let's look at this story this morning. I want you to look with and ask yourself the question, what am I concerned with? What am I? Because see, I mean, see, Satan, the Bible says, had this lady bound for 18 years. Hey, she's bound by Satan. She's caught up because of sin, and she's got sorrow and suffering, and she's bowed up and bowed down. And let me say, that's what sin does to people. The Bible's not real specific on whether it was her sin or somebody else's sin. Can I say, this infirmity is not necessarily because of personal sin, but it's because of the presence of sin. And can I say to you this morning, you may be here this morning and you're going through times of trouble. You're going through hardship. Maybe you're suffering some way, whether physical or spiritual. You're suffering this morning. It's not necessarily because of your personal sin, but it's because of the presence of sin. You understand that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You got to understand that when Adam sinned, hey, he damned us all to hell. Hey, you got to understand we are all fallen. We are all come short of the glory of God. You got to understand that. And so sometimes you see somebody going through something, you think, well, that's a good person, man. They done right. But the presence of sin is still in this world. And we're going to have to deal with it until we get to heaven, amen. Until Jesus comes, we'll deal with it. So you need to understand that when we look at this story. But I want you to see something about this lady. Number one, look at the condition that preceded. Look at the condition that preceded. You understand, the Bible says here in verse number 10, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed or bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. The condition, I want you to see, number one, I want you to notice she was seeking. She was seeking. Why do you say she was seeking, preacher? Hey, somehow she got to the synagogue. The synagogue, if you understand, between the Old Testament temple and tabernacle and then the New Testament beginning of the church in the book of Acts, you understand that the synagogue is the place where the Jews met to worship. It's where they met to go over the scriptures. It's where they met for prayer. It's where they met, and that's where they worshiped in the intertestament period. And so you understand that this lady, somehow, she made her way to the synagogue. She was there. Now you understand her condition. You understand the shape she's in. How she got there, I don't know. But she was there for a reason. Can I say there's people today that they're hurting and they're going through all kinds of troubles. They're going through all kinds of stuff. And they're seeking. They're looking for help. They're not looking for God. They're looking for help. The Bible says there's none that seek after God. There's none that rise. There's none that seek after him on the road. Hey, but he's looking for them. Bless God. Hey, listen now. He's looking for you. He was looking for you. Jesus said he's the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he comes looking. And you understand this morning that she's a seeking for him. She's seeking for something. She's seeking for help. She knows not what. She's just going to the synagogue because she knows, hey, that's where they worship God. And so I see she's a seeking, but I see also not only she's seeking because she's suffering. You say, how she knows she's suffering? Well, let me say, number one, she's hurting. Look, the Bible says a spirit of infirmity had taken her. She had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. You understand 18 years? Somebody says, preacher, what does that 18 signify? 18 years signifies a long time. That's what it signifies, a long time. 18 years now. I don't know how old this lady was, but for 18 years, she had been taken by a spirit of infirmity, bowed up. I mean, she's hurting. That spirit of infirmity, she's got a malady. She's feeble. She's got some type of sickness. She's got frailty and disease in her body, and she's hurting. You understand that all sickness is not from satanic oppression, but hers was. It was a spirit of infirmity. Jesus said she's bound by Satan. Now, I don't understand, you know, and the idea here in this story is some people would say, well, she was lost and she needed to be saved. Some people says, well, she was already saved and Jesus was just delivering her from a physical infirmity. I'm not sure. Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. Maybe she was already a follower of God. Jesus called her a follower of a daughter of Abraham. So that could entail that she was a Jew. It also could go a little further and be involved in the fact that not only is she a Jew, but she was of the faith of Abraham. So let me say this morning, there's two types of people that are here. There's people that are bound up in sin because they're lost and they need to be saved. And there's people that are Christians. Hey, they've been born again, but they still got things that are binding them. They still got things that are held. And they need to know that the victory's been won, that they don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to live discouraged life. You don't have to live a life under the circumstances. Hey, if you're born again and you're a child of God, you can live over the circumstances. You can be more than a conqueror. Hey, greater is he that's in me, hey, than he that's in the world. You don't have to live bound up. You don't have to live bound. You don't have to live tied up. There's people hurting, though, both sides. There's people hurting. Spirit of infirmity, feeble. Not only was she hurting, she was helpless. The Bible talks about how she was bowed or bowed together. She was. The idea is that she was bent up double. She was completely bent up forward. And together. In other words, she's. I get the idea. She's probably, you know, you've seen them. You've seen them on TV if you haven't been at home. And they're drawn up and they can't move. That's the idea. And for 18 years, she'd been hurting and she's helpless. You say, how do you get the idea? Hey, the Bible, she could in no wise lift up herself. Helpless. You know, there's a lot of people like that today. They're bound by sin. They're bound by the things of this world. And they can't see the way out. They're blinded by the God. They can't get out of it. They don't know how. They need some help. She's hurting. She's helpless. Let me say she's humbled. She'd been in bondage in this situation for 18 years. She needed help. She's suffering. 18, you understand, this wasn't 18 days, this wasn't 18 weeks, 18 years. How did she get to the synagogue? I don't know. Maybe possibly some family member carried her. Maybe the church van come by and picked her up. Maybe the camel ministry come by and picked her up. Put her on a wagon and brought her to the synagogue. I don't know how she got there. Somehow she made her way. She got her way there. Somebody cared. And the Bible says she bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And Jesus saw her and said unto her, verse number 11, behold the woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years with both and could in no wise lift herself. And Jesus saw her, he called her to him. He called her to him. Now understand now, she could not lift up herself. And then Jesus turns around and says, come to me. Now, would that be humiliating? Would that humble you to know that, hey, he's calling for you, but I can't. I'm hurting. I'm helpless. And she's humbled. Not only I want you to see her condition. You know, the condition preceded her for 18 years. You got to understand, 18 years. Let me say, look at number. There's a lot of lost people that's been lost for a long time. I mean, ever since they was born, they's lost and they've grown up. In church, they're going through tradition, they're going through, and they're lost, and they've been lost. But let me say, there's a lot of Christians that are bound by things for a long time, too.
Right.
Oh, they're not lost. They've got the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're saved. They know they're going to heaven, but they've got some sin. They've got some weight that's holding them down. And let me say, this morning, they need to learn that, hey, they had the victory in Jesus, and they don't have to be under that.
Right.
They're hurting. Not only was there a condition that preceded, but watch this, there was a cure that was pronounced. Watch with me in verse number 12. And Jesus, Bible says in verse 12, and when he saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity.
Amen.
Wow. Thou art loosed. Thou art loosed. Could you imagine this lady, 18 years, she's bound up, she's crippled, she's... Can you, I mean, I can't really act it out, but hey,
for 18 years. And then some guy comes by and says, "Woman, thou art loosed." Now don't none of you young people get the idea. When I was a young teenager, I was disrespectful. I was a little punk, and I remember getting in trouble because I called one of my school teachers, "Hey, woman." That Jesus meant no disrespect. He was referring to her as a lady, a woman. "Woman, be," he said, "thou art loosed from thine infirmity." I want you to notice some things about this cure that was pronounced to her. See, she couldn't lift up herself. Much like you and I, when we're born in this world, we're born dead in sin and trespasses before God. We need the Holy Spirit that's going to call us. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. You can't save yourself. You didn't save yourself. You weren't looking for Him. You couldn't regenerate yourself. You couldn't turn. Some people says, "Well, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do that, and then God will accept you. You got to clean this. You got to cut your hair. You got to get this. You got to do this." And then God, no, thank God. He says, "Come unto me, all you that are heavy, weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's no, the condition is you that are hurting, you that need rest. Hey, you that are bound in sin, come unto me. He'll clean, you know the saying, you catch him, he'll clean him, amen. Hey, he catches the man, cleans him. Well, she's hurting. She's helpless. And here it is. Jesus comes by and says, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Look, can I say, number one, this cure that was pronounced, it was personal. He said it unto her. In verse number 12, he saw her, he called her. I love the church, but he didn't see a church. He didn't see a nation. He didn't see a family. Look up in here. He saw her and he called her. It's personal. Salvation's a personal thing. You being right with God is a personal matter. Well, my family and my mama and my papa and my granny and them and that. No, that ain't good enough. He saw her. He called her.
Amen. It was personal. And he said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed." Watch. Not only did he call her and see her, but he laid his hands on her. As if just to reiterate the fact that thou art loose, and I'm putting my hands on you to confirm it. Not to do it, but to just confirm it. Hey, that I'm talking to you. He said, "Woman, thou art loosed." And he said, not only is it personal, but it's powerful. The word loosed here, it means to be loosed. It means to be set free fully. It means to be set at liberty or at freedom. How many of you, we sang the song a while ago, "Like a bird out of prison, taking his flight." How many of you have ever been somewhere and they had a dove or a pigeon or something in a cage, and they opened that little swinging door and watched that bird? Does the bird stay in the cage? How many of you ever saw the bird? "Nah, I like the cage. I think I'm going to stay there." Every time I've ever watched them, I've been to funerals and they had those white birds, I guess it's doves, they got them in there. And they pull the top off that box or the blanket or cow, and just as soon as there's an opening, you hear flap, 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 flap. Witness? Loosed, set free.
Amen.
In other words, hey lady, sit up because you can.
Amen.
I'm afraid there's a lot of people that he's set them free. He set them at liberty, but they're still walking around like they're hurt. They're so in a habit of being in bondage that they don't know how to live in liberty. I'm talking about church folk. But the cure that he pronounced was personal, but it was powerful. He said, you understand who's talking here? Hey, the one who said, "Hey, let there be light," and there was light. The one who breathed the breath into mankind and he became a living man. Hey, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is speaking to this lady, and the Word, Jesus Christ, he says, "Woman, thou art loose." The one who spake into being the very world in which she lived. The one who spake into being the very womb from which she came.
He said, woman, thou art loosed.
Amen.
Loosed. And immediately. Y'all see that word immediately? Verse 13. He laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now hold on now. 18 years. 18 years. Woman, be thou loosed. Immediately. You know what immediate means? I don't like instant taters. Amen? Unless they come from Kentucky Fried. Amen? Hey, but anything Kentucky Fried is good. Hey, but hey, I don't... Hey, instant this. Instant that. I want homemade. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus started instant. Immediately. She's made straight. Immediately. That's what the word immediately means. It means... right now. It don't mean a 12-week step. It don't mean a process, a plan. It don't mean a rehabilitation program. It don't mean she went through therapy. You know, everything you do now, if you go to the doctor, they want to give you therapy. I mean, everything you do, I mean, if you cut your finger, I'm going to put you in therapy. You can't do anything and just get over it anymore. Oh, you got to go to therapy. This lady didn't go to the therapy. She heard the word. Woman, thou art loosed.
Amen.
Woman, thou art loosed. That's all he said. That's all he said. Personal. It's powerful. And immediately, the Bible says, immediately she was made straight. That means she sat up, she was made erect, she was restored to straightness.
Glory.
Her condition was changed. She's let go, she's released from that which held her captive. Those bonds, the physical prison she was in was shattered. She's set free. She's at liberty now. And she was made straight. Immediately. Powerful. Now you can imagine in 18 years, did this lady go to the doctor? I would imagine she probably did. Remember now, Luke, the physician, is writing this. There's doctors in this day. Quite possibly she sought out some doctors. She looked for help and there was no help. The Bible says she was bound by Satan. Jesus said that. It's interesting, Jesus didn't say spirit leave her. At times when he casted out spirits, he told them to flee a person, to leave. But here in this instance, Jesus did not speak to the spirit. Are you with me? Jesus said, woman. He spoke to the woman. Thou art loosed. Hey, some of y'all needs to hear that this morning. There's some people here this morning that needs to come to an old-fashioned altar and hear God say, thou art loosed. You need to realize you're helpless. You need to realize you're hurting. You need to realize, hey, you can't do anything. And all you need is a personal touch from a personal God with a powerful voice that says, thou art loosed. Let me say this, not only was it powerful, but it was permanent. The word loosed is a completed action. It was a completed action that took place, but it had a lasting result, a state of being. Hey, she was loosed and she was set free to go on her way. She wasn't just loosed for the day. She wasn't just loosed, you know, for that church service. No, there's a lot of people that, you know, they live their Christian life that way. They come to church and they're loosed. They'll shout, they'll praise the Lord in church. But when they go back out the doors, I'm in bondage. I can't help but, I can't help myself. Yeah, you can. I'm talking to Christians right now. I can't help but drink that. I can't help but smoke. I can't help but look at that. I can't help but listen. Yeah, you can. It's up to you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside of you. He's there to enable you. He's there to strengthen you. He's there to teach you. He's there to lead you in all truth. You've got the ability. You've got the mind of Christ and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You no longer have to be in dominion to sin and to the bondage of this world. Hey, Jesus has set you free when he saved you. Permanent. And I'm not saying you're going to be perfect when you got saved. I'm not saying that. Listen, but what I'm saying is when you got born again, when you got saved, there's no more excuses for you to live in sin. There's no more excuses. The lost person can't help it. That's all they know. They're blind. They're blinded by the god of this world, Satan. They're blinded. They're living according to the fashion of their father, the devil. They're doing everything they know, but the same person has the Holy Spirit inside of them. And they don't have to. They can disobey. They can say no. They can do the opposite of what they're supposed to, but they don't have to. And as a Christian, somebody said, well, a Christian can't sin. No, a Christian, let me say, look up in here. A Christian can do anything that a lost person can do, but he don't have to. He don't have to. You can. It's possible. I could go out this morning. I could go to the store, get me a six-pack and drink it. But I don't have to. And I don't want to. Why? Because I've been set free. I am at liberty.
Glory.
I'm not bound to sin anymore.
Right.
I'm not bound to those things that cripple me. I'm not bound, hey, to the sin of this world. Hey, I have been set free. Thou art loose. Somebody needs to thank God and just thank to the self. Look,
amen.
If I was crazy mad, I'd say slap your neighbor high five and say I'm loosed.
Amen.
I'm loosed. It wouldn't hurt some Baptists to just look at somebody and say I've been loosed. I've been set free. I've been set at liberty. I'm not in bondage anymore. I don't have to walk around in defeat. I don't have to walk around discouraged. I don't have to walk around like a victim. I'm a victor. I'm more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. I'm loosed. 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 That just feels good to say it. Loosed. Set free. Loosed, personal, powerful, permanent. No longer did she have to be crippled up and ask for somebody else to move her around and depend on somebody else to bathe her, depend on somebody else to dress her, depend on somebody else to move her around and take her here and take her there or feed her. Loosed! That's the cure. How about this? The critics. There's the condition, there's the cure, and then there's, like every good Baptist church, there's critics. There were critics that were present this day. Look in verse 14. Now watch it now. This lady in verse 13, she was immediately made straight and she glorified God. That is, she was praising the Lord. She was having a good, she was having a camp meeting, shouting fit. Amen? But watch verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. I mean, can you see him? I can see him in his robe. There are 6 days. Can I say something about these critics? This fellow was up class. You say, what do you mean he's up class? He was a ruler of the synagogue. That means he's the director. He is the chief in charge of the synagogue. You know, I'm not against rich people. I like rich people. I wish we'd get a bunch saved and tithing. Amen? But the truth of the matter is that there's a... The truth of the matter is there's a lot of people in this world that think they have money and think they have society's class on their side, and they just don't need God. They know how to do everything. There's people in church that think they're better than everybody, believe it or not. Well, I don't like them bus kids. I don't think them kids ought to ride our van. I don't think they ought to sit on our pew. They get the church dirty. They tear up the vans. They cost a lot of. I don't think we ought to send. I don't think we ought to spend no money on them youngins. Believe it or not, there's people in churches that think like that.
they're up here, you know.
Can I say Jesus was more concerned for souls?
That's right.
What are you concerned about? I'm not against having nice things. I'm not against, hey, I think you ought to take care and respect the house of God.
Right.
Hey, but look up in here. Why do we have this house? Why do we have this building? Right. We don't worship this building. Look up in here. This building's going to burn up one of these days. We are here and we build a building so that we can reach souls, so that we can get snotty-nosed, brat-bus kids and bring them to church and tell them about somebody that loved them enough to die for them so they don't have to go to hell.
Glory.
These critics are up class. You know, they're full of pride. But watch this, not only were they up class, but they were upset. Speaking, what's in verse 14? Answered, this ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. The word indignation, it means he was aroused and he was angry. It has the idea that he was greatly afflicted and much displeased. Yeah, I've seen it in churches. I've seen bus kids start coming. I've seen some of them get saved. And everybody's rejoicing. Everybody's having a good time. And it ain't just bus kids. Maybe it's the poor person that lives down the street from you that nobody wants nothing to do with because, you know, they don't have nice clothes. They don't have a nice car. And they come to church and they get saved and they're wanting to get involved and you know, you have a meal and everybody wants to sit on this side. Everybody wants to, and then somebody says something, well, I don't know why the church, I don't know why we want them in here. We don't, they're not doing anything for us. They don't please them. It don't please these critics. These critics don't like it. Greatly afflicted. See, you got to remember now, they are concerned with the religious formalities. They're not concerned with souls. They're more concerned with looking good. And so they're upset. Let me say, not only are they upset, but they were uncovered. Jesus said, in verse 15, Jesus, the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite. Now we use the word hypocrite many times as a slang word, throw on somebody, oh, he's just a hypocrite. You know, you hear people, I don't go to church with a bunch of hypocrites. You hear people, but the word hypocrite literally means it has the idea of to be the player on stage, the pretender, the actor, if you will. In the Greek tradition, in the Greek culture there, it was the second-faced person. They would have a mask and they would play one part, and then when they come back on stage, they would put the mask up and play another part. A hypocrite. One who had two faces. The pretender. Jesus called him out. He's at church, if you will. He's at the synagogue. They're supposed to be worshiping. They're supposed to be enjoying what God's doing. This lady's healed. She's set free. She's delivered. Reason, hey, I'd shout, jump the pews, hey. And Jesus says, thou hypocrite. Jesus uncovered him. Jesus showed him for who he really was. Everybody else saw, that's the ruler of the synagogue. He knows how we ought to do it. Jesus said, thou hypocrite. He didn't say that to just the member. He said that to the ruler. Thou hypocrite. Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? See, not only was he uncovered, but let me say, these critics, they're unreal. I mean, they are unreal. They cared more for an ox or an ass than they did the suffering woman. They cared more for the physical than they did the spiritual. You understand what I'm saying this morning? And Jesus put him to shame. He uncovered him and he put him to shame. Verse 17 says, his adversaries were ashamed. You understand these critics, the adversaries, Jesus said they're adversaries. They lie opposite and contrary to what God was doing. They are unreal in the fact that they are unconscious sometimes. They don't even realize it. They're fighting for, you know, the structure and the oh, well, we got to do it this way. We got to do it that way. And they don't understand it. Sometimes they're fighting against what God wants to do. Sure, there was a law about the Sabbath day. But Jesus is trying to show them, hey, it's more things important than the Sabbath day. Don't you? This is what he said. They're straining. They got zeal. They are zealously fighting for what they think right. And he said, look, y'all can't do that on the Sabbath. But he doesn't realize what's going on in his heart. There's a lot of people today, they'll choose somebody up, man. You can't do that. You can't do that. They don't realize what they're overlooking in their own life. They're unreal. Jesus said they was put to shame. The word to shame means they're put to the blush. They're dishonored and disgraced. Jesus uncovered them and let people see what they were really about. God would help us today. God help us today if we were uncovered sometimes and saw what our motives really were. What we really cared about. What we really wanted to emphasize. This dude and the people with him, they cared more about the ox and the ass than they did this woman that was bound. They cared more about the Sabbath than they did her soul. There are some today that are concerned more about religion than they are about relationship. They're concerned more about a religious structure than they are about worship. They're concerned more about a ceremony than they are about being in the presence of God. They're concerned more about the material, about the natural, about the finances of the church than they are about the ministry and the spiritual or the supernatural workings of God in the church. They'd rather argue about the budget than they were. Hey, get out there and go to work and try to win some souls. They care more about personal substance than they do about permanent souls. Can I say people are dying every day, boys and girls, moms and dads, red, yellow, black, white. Hey, they're precious in God's sight, and they're dying every day without God and without Jesus Christ, and they're going to a place called hell. Do we care? Aren't we too worried about whether they're going to mess up a pew, whether they're going to get the carpet dirty, whether they're going to get the bus dirty? Hey, can I say we can clean a carpet? We can replace a pew? We can buy a new van? Hey, but if a soul dies without Christ, they're doomed and damned forever. What do we care about? Do we want to see them loosed? Set free? Well, preacher, we don't need to spend no money on them kids. We don't need to spend no money. There's churches that are shutting down ministries that reach out. Because, you know, preacher, the gas went up. We can't afford gas. Souls are dying every day. Preacher, I've got to save in my 401k. I can't give to missions. And you're investing in something that's going to burn up when you could be investing in something of eternal value? There's critics present, believe it or not. There's critics. There's some here this morning, I'm sure. I don't know. I hope it's not you. There's critics present. But watch this. Not only were there critics present, what I want to say when this lady got delivered, there was a celebration that proceeded. Watch what happens. Watch what happens, and I'm done. In verse number 16, or 15 and 16, Jesus argued, and he said, thou hypocrite, dost not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water? In other words, Jesus said, hey, when your animals get thirsty on the Sabbath day, don't you get them something to drink? That's just as much work as healing. He said, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Jesus said, look, this lady's way more important than your donkey drinking some water. You with me? And watch verse 17. And when they had heard these things, that is, the adversaries, all his adversaries were ashamed when he had said these things. All his adversaries were ashamed. And watch this. And all the people, not the adversaries, but the people, all the people rejoiced. They wasn't sitting like most of y'all are right now. They were rejoicing. It says that all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. There was a celebration that preceded. Already back in verse 13 where we've seen this lady glorified God. But not only did that lady glorify God, but let me say when she was delivered, the people around her were affected. Can I say, when you get saved, when you get delivered, when you get set free of something in your life, hey, and God delivers you, hey, you'll be happy about it. You will rejoice, and you'll glorify God. But can I say, if somebody gets delivered, somebody gets saved, whatever it is that they're dealing with, and God comes by and loses them and sets them free, it's not going to only set them free and make them happy, but it's going to make somebody else around them happy. You want some life in church? You get some people in there that's bound and watch God come to them and say, "Thou art loosed."
Amen.
He said the people around him and the people rejoiced. That is the common people, those that were there, not the adversaries. The adversaries were a shell, but the people that were around her, hey, they were glad. They were rejoicing. They were with exceeding joy. Wasn't the average Baptist church. Exceeding joy, bubbling out. They were rejoicing. Why? Because of the glorious things that were done by him. Glorious things. The glorious means the things of great esteem, the things of high repute, the things that are honored. These illustrious, honorable, esteemed things, notable, glorious, splendid things. Hey, things that the critics put down, things that the critics said, "Oh, you didn't do it right." Can I say there's a lot of people that says, "Oh, you shouldn't speak this way, you shouldn't say this, you shouldn't sing this, you shouldn't." And they got all the shouldn'ts and the shoulds all, they got it all figured out. But they wouldn't know the touch and the presence of God if you walked in and slapped them upside the face this morning.
Right.
They're too busy being a critic.
Right.
There's people with crooked concerns. And they would even look at the Son of God and say, "You shouldn't have done that on the Sabbath day." What, dude? Let her keep on going? No. God, a loving God, full of mercy. He come by her way. He saw her where she was. He saw her in the shape she was in. And he didn't turn his back. He didn't say, "We'll have to wait till tomorrow." No, he came where she was, to the shape she was in. And he met her in her time and in her need. And he said, "Woman," she didn't ask. She didn't ask. He came by. "Woman, thou art loosed."
Amen. Glory.
So what would be your response this morning? You want to be in on that? Loosed, Bart? Loosed? Are you interested in seeing people loosed? Loosed? You interested in seeing sinners loosed from sin? Are you interested in seeing Christians loosed from the past? Loosed? What's your concerns? Do you have the concerns of the Savior? Or do you have the crooked concerns of the critic of the synagogue? Jesus is interested in people being loosed. Loosed. "Woman, thou art loosed." And immediately she was straightened and what? Glorified God. Glorified God. God was pleased.
Amen.
God found satisfaction in seeing that lady of 18 years set free, straightened up, set up erect, ready to walk home. God got some pleasure out of that. But you know, the spiritual, the Super Joe Pharisee synagogue leader over here, he didn't like it. They didn't do it the right way. So where's your heart this morning? What are you? Where would you fall in? Do you have a crooked concern? What is it? God help us to be interested in being people, seeing people loosed. If you're here this morning, and you're bound, if you're a lost person and you're bound in sin and you need to be set free, you need to be saved, can I say, if you'll come down here to an altar, I'll meet you right here at this table. Hey, I'll take a Bible or get somebody else to take a Bible, and we will take the time and show you how the Bible says that you can be made free. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we come here this morning. See people helped. And let me say this, if you're a Christian and you've been saved and you know you're saved, but you've got something you're walking under the power of, and you think, "Man, I can't." Let me say, we can take a Bible and show you how that you can know that you don't have to be in bondage anymore. When Jesus says, "Be loosed," hey, you're loosed. Walk like it. There's a lot of people, I'm telling you, they're still walking around like they're crooked and they don't realize that spiritually they've been made free. It's time to walk in the victory that God's put you in. Jesus said, it is finished.
Amen.
What's your heart's need this morning? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, God, I pray.